I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I thought it was an interesting angle you brought up in a text message here. Seth, scratch golfer here. Great point, Seth. Dad was a golfer, taught me a valuable lesson on the course. Don't lie or cheat on the course or in life.
Well, and our friend Jackie Goss points out also, though, that Jim Crane was also a baseball player, and baseball pushes the envelope a little bit more than golf. It's not quite on the honor system.
That's a good point.
So there's somebody, but I don't, it's all intertwined in this very hazy mix. The real victims here, Sean, I think, as everybody will agree, there'll probably be pieces written about it in the Houston Chronicle today, are you and I.
Yeah.
Because somebody this morning, one of the first things I see is a told you so on this morning, because it was somebody that apparently texted back in November, where I had, this is where, to the best of my memory, this is how I've treated it the whole time. I felt like they did it. And early on, you and I were getting, a lot of our listeners were angry at us because we were so easily saying, look, it looks pretty clear that they did it. There were just too many witnesses right from the very start. And Mike Fiers was too explicit for it to be false. But I didn't think that, I thought that because other teams were doing something of the sort, that baseball was going to be measured in their response. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect it to be quite as severe a penalty. And I didn't expect the stigma to be as harsh as it was.
Well, and that gets to the question, and we'll get to the report itself here in just a second. If you're looking to get the bullet points so you can go into the office today and sound smart talking about this, Seth and I are going to spend a few minutes in this segment. We've got a nice long segment here where we'll go through the high points of the report so you can speak intelligently about this, and also a few funny things that happened in the report as well. It's only a 9-page report. We've got the highlights sort of carved out here to share with you. But as long as you're touching on that, Seth, this is a question that we haven't asked on the air yet on the show, and I think it's a big question, is how does this affect the 2017 World Series championship for you? I'm not talking about how it affects it with the masses, because you're right. It will always be, at a minimum, even for the most avid, diehard Astro fan, it's going to be a footnote for sure. And for a lot of people who don't have a dog in the fight, it's going to be the story with the 2017 Astros. How does it affect it for you?
It's going to come up in conversation. Yeah. This is what I want to believe. And I honestly, I'm going to be completely forthright with you, is that I'm going to have to process this over the next couple of weeks. What I want to believe is that they were good enough to win the World Series in 2017 anyway. And what I would say, if I were making that argument, is that, look, they continued doing it in 2018. They stopped doing it because they realized that they claimed they weren't getting anything out of it. Multiple players said they just stopped because it didn't seem to be working. So my big question is, did they realize that it really wasn't working and never had been working? Or was it that by 2018, teams had taken measures to combat this? I'd love to see what the average time between pitch for opposing pitchers was in 2018 versus 2017. You know, if pitchers in 2018 were being extra careful, changing up the signs more often, number of mound visits, whatever it might be,
yeah,
it might be as simple as that. You look at Game 3 and Game 5, where the Astros kind of had their way with Dodgers pitchers at home. It's hard to believe that this didn't have some small part of it. So I fully think that they were good enough to win a World Series, but as we know, just from this past World Series, it's a razor's edge. Every little bit helps.
Well,
you know?
This past World Series, and I know they didn't win the World Series, but they could have won the World Series. Like, it was a coin flip at the end, and things went better for the Nationals over the last three innings than the Astros. It's clearly a team that's good enough to win a World Series without doing that, right? And I know there were different players on the team in 2019 than there were in 2017. The bottom line is both were very, very good to great baseball teams. So do I think they could have won it in 2017 without doing any of that stuff? Absolutely, I feel that way. To me, it's going to be more of a nuisance than it is something that affects my enjoyment of the title. The thing that's going to affect my enjoyment of the title is what you talked about in the open of this show. Is that anytime it now gets brought up in conversation with anybody that doesn't have the Astros as a dog in the fight, it's anytime that World Series comes up, that's going to get brought up.
So Game 3. Yu Darvish got shelled for 4 runs in the second inning of the World Series. Mm-hmm. And remember what the rumor was after the year was that, oh, a veteran Astros player knew that Darvish was tipping pitches and clued the Astros in on it. And a lot of people believe that that veteran player was one Carlos Beltran.
Right.
Now it turns out that Carlos Beltran was the ringleader, or at least one of the guys that started off the high-tech sign stealing.
Yep.
So how much of it was that it was sign stealing that Carlos Beltran started? How much of it was that if Darvish was tipping pitches and they were doing it the old school honest way, there's no big deal. If they were also using their video monitors to relay information to the clubhouse at that point, then it's obviously a big deal.
My counterpoint to that would be that Darvish got shellacked in Game 7 as well, which was in Dodger Stadium.
Right. But if they had already gleaned information, I suppose.
Maybe.
That's a very good point, Sean.
You can't bang the garbage can in Dodger Stadium.
Very good point. Thank you for that. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
I told you it was going to take me a couple weeks to process.
It's all good, man. There's a lot of layers to this thing, man.
No, that's it for me. I'm done. All right, no big deal here with the scandal. Everything's cool. Seth's going to live the rest of his life basking in the glory of 2017.
All right, so about the Texans. Yeah. We'll get into the report here in just a second, but we talked about Luno. We talked about Hinch, how it affects them. Just a couple other things here before we get into the report itself, Seth. Alex Cora is going to get popped. He is going to get popped hard by Major League Baseball, worse than Luno and Hinch. And if you read the report, they're tabling Alex Cora right now because they're doing an investigation of the Red Sox 2018 activities. Alex Cora has a chance to be the mastermind behind the Astros sign-stealing scandal and the manager of the team that allowed it to go on with the Red Sox. Two teams, by the way, that won the World Series.
Yeah.
The Astros won it in 2017. The Red Sox won 108 games in the World Series in 2018.
That's the one silver lining here, is that at least we're not going to hear it from Red Sox fans.
No.
If they try, you're going to be able to have.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing that came out of this is seemingly Alex Cora might be the one guy who kept trying to lie to investigators. It seemed like there was a lot of cooperation by everybody else.
Could you see Cora getting a lifetime ban?
Oh.
One is the mastermind with the Astros. Yeah. One is the manager of the Red Sox. Not cooperative in the investigation. I could see Cora getting a lifetime ban.
He's the only
one of those lifetime bans where you can apply in a few years to get back in, but it'll be couched initially as a lifetime ban.
He's the only person who is named. He's the only coach named in any of this. Beltran was a player at the time, obviously.
The time, yeah.
So he's the only coach that did it, and then did it with two teams. He's the Johnny Appleseed of electronic sign stealing.
He is. He's the mastermind. I think he's going to get drilled in this thing.
Johnny Appleseed, because he's taking it and he's sprinkling
all over the land.
If he had gone off to another team, then they would have started doing it too. Yeah.
You bring up Beltran. That's another name that I wanted to bounce off of you. What are they saying in New York today about their new manager of the New York Mets?
What are they saying about the new manager of the Mets? What are we feeling here in Houston? How do we feel? Have we taken yet another turn in the road for how we feel collectively about Carlos Beltran?
Not me.
No?
No.
He was doing it takes some of the shine off of, hey, yeah, Beltran came in and he's this great vet and he provided leadership that they didn't have before. That's the difference between 2015 and 2017. Leadership.
Yeah.
And also being the ringleader of a sign-stealing scheme.
Maybe some of it for me is I wasn't as mad as everybody else was at Carlos Beltran to begin with.
Yeah, you're bad at Boris, right? Was Boris his agent? When the first time around, when he left town?
He may have strung the Astros out. Yeah. So I wasn't as mad at him about all that stuff to begin with. So the snapback effect of being mad at him again just doesn't do it for me. We haven't mentioned the draft picks either. The Astros are getting docked two first-round picks each of the next two. Let me back up. They're getting docked their first-round pick in the 2020 and 2021 draft, as well as their second-round pick in the 2020 and 2021 draft. So basically, it's like they traded for Laremy Tunsil, is basically what just happened. Major League Baseball just issued a Laremy Tunsil trade on the Astros, except they don't get anything in return for losing their draft picks. So now we root for three teams here, Seth, that have gutted their drafts for the next several years. The Texans don't have a first-round pick the next 2 years. The Astros don't have a first or a second-round pick the next 2 years, both for entirely different reasons. And then the Rockets have traded a bunch of their first-round equity in the Russell Westbrook trade. We'll learn more about what the draft pick part of it means later in the show. We've got Jim Callis coming on, who's a minor league baseball expert, who will, at 9 o'clock on the show, to kind of shape for us what exactly the draft capital means. But for a team, Seth, that is up against the luxury tax, for a team that loves to have those young players either to supplement their roster or to trade to go get veteran guys, that feels like a huge hit to me. Like, the lifeblood of the Astros right now is their core that they've assembled. So they're going to be fine in 2020 and 2021. They're still going to be really good even without A.J. Hinch as their manager. But their ability to add players to a roster that's going to be hovering around $200 million in payroll, the ability to add young, cheap talent to it, the ability to have young, cheap talent to trade to go maybe get that last piece to get a World Series, took a monster hit yesterday.
Well, yeah. There's a whole lot more pressure on Greinke at this point. Hey, Greinke. Hey, this thing that happened all before you ever got here and stopped being, you were the last. We shot our last wad of ammunition on you, and our pipeline is bereft at this point.
Yeah.
So just go ahead and you got to be a Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sound cool? And whichever manager, I guess it's time to bring in Luke Walton. Yeah. I think Luke Walton can manage this team.
Luke Walton can manage this team
just like he did when
39-4. So we're talking obviously heavily this morning about Jeff Luhnow and AJ Hinch fired as the general manager and the manager of the Astros.
You know, that's the other side of this is, okay, Joe Espada is probably going to be I almost said interim manager, but I'm still operating in this weird world where I'm thinking in terms of interim. There is no interim. This is, you're building again from the ground up. And yesterday Jim Crane said, hey, we have people that can fill these roles in various spots. I think they're interim, and maybe they're on a probationary basis until they see what happens. But I wonder if Jim Crane also, for as upset as Jim Crane looked about it, if he's genuine in his being upset about it, then he still has players on this team that did it that have gone unpunished, and he has people in the organization that likely knew about it too. So I wonder how much that affects his decision-making on whether they get the job of GM or head coach or anything.
That's a good point. There's the practicality of it too, Seth, which is we're 4 weeks away from pitchers and catchers. You know, how long does it take to burn in a manager? You know, is a manager something you can hire a week before spring training and just have them come in and all of a sudden say, hey guys, here's your new boss for a team that expects to go back to the World Series? This team, firing AJ Hinch and Jeff Luhnow is a big deal. Don't get me wrong. It is a big deal. In large part, the history of it, that this is sort of an unprecedented thing, is a big deal. But it's a big deal for the Astros, too. But make no mistake, the Astros are still one of the three or four best teams in baseball heading into 2020. So I do wonder what the practicality is of going out and finding a new manager in what's really going to be a rushed kind of hiring thing, as opposed to Espada, as you just mentioned, who's been in that, you know, he's been in that clubhouse, he's been in that dugout, yeah. The players know him. I wonder how much he's going to involve the key members of the core members of the team, like Altuve and Springer and Verlander and guys like that, when it comes to, okay, what do you guys think is the best thing for this team?
You know what I'm going to do right here? I'm going to do something that this person didn't expect at all, probably, because he thought he's going to get the benefit of not being included in conversation for a couple days. Bill O'Brien. When Bill O'Brien took the job at Penn State, so Penn State was facing sanctions, and Bill O'Brien knew it, but he was a bright young coach that was going to get his shot at getting that thing on his resume, that head coaching position on his resume. So he took it, and then sanctions got worse and it made it really miserable. I can't foresee sanctions. I think this is going to be the end of the story, because baseball won't stop bragging about how extensive this investigation was. This will be the end of the sanctions. So whoever takes the job knows that he gets a little bit of a free pass in that, all right, you expect there's going to be a step backwards on some level and that you're going to have to work your way through it. I don't worry about the manager as much, because we know in baseball, a manager can be the difference between winning a World Series at a Game 7 or not, but it's rarely the difference between, you know, having a winning season and having a losing season. I'm not as concerned about that. I'm concerned about the general manager.
Yeah, no, if you're asking me, if whoever the new guys are, manager, general manager, who's stepping into the more desirable job, it's clearly the manager. The manager's stepping into one of the three or four best rosters in baseball for 2020. Whoever is the manager of this team, this may be their greatest chance to win a World Series, is managing the 2020 Astros. Whoever the general manager is, Seth, is walking into a situation where you have an owner who it's going to be really tough to spend more than he already has. This is a team that's now in trying to retain player mode as opposed to trying to get player mode. That's tough. And you're walking into a situation where you don't have your first or second round draft picks the next 2 years. The GM job is a much harder job for whoever it is they hire coming in. So the report itself, let's just hit some of the high points for the report so we can make some of our listeners smarter as they go into the office today.
It's so easy to get sidetracked on every little part of all this.
Yeah,
apologize, Sean.
That's okay. That's why I want to hit some of these bullet points here. So just so you know what exactly was going on with the Astros, in 2017, according to the report, this all started with video replay room employees, like lower level guys who they have a video replay room and they concocted a system with Alex Cora where they looked at the signs that the catcher was flashing, and initially it wasn't the garbage can banging thing. It was the video replay room employees relaying signs to the dugout via phone, via text message to Cora. They would relay it to runners on second base who would then signal to the hitters what pitch was coming. So it was an intricate thing, but you needed a runner on second base, essentially, to execute it. 2 months into 2017, Carlos Beltran was the brains behind streamlining the whole thing and saying, look, we can do this to where you don't need any runners on base to know what pitch is coming. We'll just bang on this garbage can with somebody standing next to the monitor, and you just got to listen for the number of bangs to know what pitch is coming. So Beltran, Cora started it.
They used a massage gun, too.
They did.
Those cool massage guns can. You guys see on the sidelines of games where it's like hammering away.
Yes.
That's high tech, baby.
They use that as well.
That's probably Correa. That's probably the same damn massage gun that broke Correa's ribs.
It might be. So Cora kind of started it. Beltran kind of streamlined it. Like Beltran improved it. August 2017 is when the Red Sox got pinched for using Apple Watches to convey signs to their players on second base and steal signs. September 15th, 2017 is when the commissioner, Rob Manfred, issued the memo with the warning that if you do this anymore, there will be stiff punishment, and the punishment is going to get hit on the manager and the general manager. Do not do this anymore. This is the biggest issue here for the Astros. They continued to do this after that memo came out. For the rest of 2017, they did it through the postseason. They wound up winning the World Series. In March of 2018, Joe Torre, who is he's got a role with Major League Baseball where he helps mete out discipline, he did another memo reiterating what Manfred had said in September of 2017, telling teams again, don't do this. What did the Astros do? They continued to do it into 2018. Seth, as you mentioned, it eventually petered out. They eventually stopped doing it. They'll say they stopped doing it because it didn't work. Who knows? The bottom line was they didn't do it in the 2018 postseason, and they did not do it at all in 2019.
Which is important because I see some people have already forwarded me, well, hey, look, they only, in the last two World Series, they only won two home games. Yes, those were in the series in which Major League Baseball says they cheated.
That's right.
This year, they weren't. There was no evidence they were doing it this year.
Yeah.
And Major League Baseball got really progressively more vigilant about monitoring the monitors and whatnot. So there's all of that. The question as to whether or not it worked, the Astros willingly stopped doing it on their own in 2018 because they said it wasn't working. The big question is, okay, was it not working because it never worked, or was it not working because other teams had caught on? I'm guessing it's the latter. They wouldn't have continued doing it in late September if they felt it wasn't working.
Funny you should bring up the nervousness of teams being on to them. In the report, and we saw this John Boy video of Danny Farquhar of the White Sox hearing the garbage can banging and bringing his catcher out and saying, dude, they know something here. You can find that video anywhere online. It's mentioned in the report. This is from the report, directly from the report. Several players told my investigators, this is Manfred talking here, that there was a sense of panic in the Astros dugout after White Sox pitcher Danny Farquhar appeared to notice the trash can bangs. Before the game ended, a group of Astro players removed the monitor from the wall in the tunnel and hid it in an office. For the postseason, they put a portable monitor on a table to replace the one that was wall-mounted. And so so that after the game, they could just pick up the monitor and move it somewhere else and go, what? What system?
They also disguised one as a pizza box. That's right, John Boy had a few good videos and then completely destroyed his credibility with other videos. But the ones that were correct, I'm sure he'll claim victory for those ones that were correct. He did also call a pizza box a TV monitor at one point.
Yes,
or a laptop.
He did. Yeah. I want to ask you what you think about this. Because Manfred decided to just do a drive-by on the Astros culture at the end of this report.
Mm-hmm.
Had nothing to do with the punishment.
And I don't think it was a drive-by. I think this is how he was justifying saying that Luno's responsible, even if he's claiming that he didn't know.
Okay.
This is why Luno's responsible.
That's a good way to look at it. Here's what he said. While no one can dispute Luno's baseball operations department is an industry leader in analytics, it's very clear to me the culture of baseball operations manifesting itself in the way its employees are treated, its relations with other clubs, its relations with the media and external stakeholders has been very problematic. At least in my view, the baseball operation department of the Astros, insular culture, one that valued and rewarded results over all other considerations, combined with a staff of individuals who often lacked direction or sufficient oversight, led at least in part to the Brandon Taubman incident, the club's admittedly inappropriate and inaccurate response to the Taubman incident, and finally to an environment that allowed the conduct described in this report to have occurred. So basically, they're saying the Astros baseball operations, while successful in the win-loss column and in postseason, was a nightmare in terms of dealing with human beings.
Well, and I don't think that comes as a surprise or a shock to anybody. The question still becomes, okay, wait a second. Is it that you guys are outsiders and annoying? Is that reason or justification for the punishment? That's where I would say there's a little bit of a... There's a little bit of an NCAA vibe there, is there not? That this is a culture violation, that an institution is responsible for the culture, and that you can be responsible even if an athletic department doesn't do something directly, if they create a culture where it's possible, then the NCAA will punish somebody. The other
lack
thing,
of institutional control is what
institutional
they call that.
Institutional control, that's right.
Yeah.
So that's what they would call it here. Manfred probably 100%. Had, I bet he had that lack of institutional control written at some point, and somebody said, hey, that sounds too much like the NCAA, and the NCAA, you know what they do? They strip titles.
Yeah.
Then nobody wants that. And I'm getting a bunch of people saying, hey, Seth, they should strip this title.
Let's talk about that in the next segment.
Yeah, that's a whole separate that's a whole separate deal.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah. Let's get to that in the next segment. Let's also get to one other part of the report that is probably more funny than it is. Oh, okay. Well, then we get to this part. We got a couple minutes here. The part you mentioned this earlier, Seth, but I'll read exactly what it says in the report about AJ Hinch. About A.J. Hinch basically destructing private property.
Yeah.
A.J. Hinch attempted to signal his disapproval of the scheme by physically damaging the monitor on two occasions, necessitating its replacement. However, Hinch admits he did not stop it, and he did not notify players or Cora that he disapproved of it, even after the Red Sox were disciplined in September of 2017.
This is the strangest part of the entire ordeal for me, that Hinch apparently was angry enough about it or disapproved enough that he tried to subvert his own players' attempts to cheat by damaging a monitor, which I'm guessing the Astros had the financial resources to replace, and yet never actually told the players, hey, stop doing this. I don't understand this part of it at all. And like, not one tiny bit do I get exactly what's going on here.
AJ Hinch comes across as we all had this back in high school. You had those parents that when you were teenagers, they let their kid and their friends drink at the house, but they weren't totally approved. Like they wish they hadn't drink. They wish they didn't drink at the house.
But if you're going to do it here, and it's safe.
They let them drink beer at the house, and you realize I shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
But, you know, like it's dealing with not letting them do it. AJ Hinch feels like somebody that didn't want to deal with the players not being allowed to do this anymore.
You know what I also, and this is pure conjecture on my part, but I'm trying to think what the rationale is behind all this. I almost wonder if for him to not tell the players to stop, but to destroy the monitors, my first thought is, well, maybe he thought that in a specific at-bat, the sign stealing didn't work and he was angry about it. You know, and he destroyed the monitors because, screw you, you monitor. You screwed us. We thought we were getting a change up and it was a fastball, so screw you, monitors.
Let me ask you this. When you read this in the report, you know, because our brain always colors in the rest of the picture.
Yeah.
All it says is that Hinch attempted to signal his disapproval by physically damaging the monitor on two occasions. What do you picture AJ Hinch doing in your mind?
I picture the first image that jumps into my mind is that scene in Forrest Gump where the army officer starts pulling all the plugs as Forrest is up speaking. Forrest is speaking to the protest in Washington, D.C., and that angry officer is just yanking cord after
yanking
cord
all
after
the wires.
Cord. Yeah, yeah.
I picture him taking a bat to it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because there's a bat sitting right there. Or a massage gun. Either a massage gun or a bat and destroying the monitor.
It's starting to make a little bit more sense because, okay, maybe Hinch knew this was going on. He was conflicted about it, but he felt like, all right, I'm going to let the players do what the players are going to do. But it just bubbled up sometimes to where he couldn't handle the frustration anymore and his conflicted feelings, so he just smashed something that was close to him.
All right.
Really, it's shocking to me because AJ Hinch, I think, would likely pride himself on his ability to communicate with players. He's a psychology major, these things. But he himself was the tortured one.
Yes, indeed.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.